Chapter 6. The Tyrant Offspring of Eros. Satan wasted no time in seeking to defeat the promised seed by putting the Eros motor to work, releasing a tide of violence and desolation. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Genesis 6, verse 5. Let us retrace our steps a little to see how quickly the principles of Eros, encapsulated in the words of the serpent, could lead to a cleansing of the entire world by water. We recall that when Eve came to Adam, possessed by Satan, holding the forbidden fruit, she came as a messenger. Satan was seeking to draw Adam into his Eros kingdom through Eve. She sought to win him to her side and make him her apprentice. Now that she had entered the new kingdom, she looked upon Adam as a power that could assist her, standing by her against whatever may come. She seeks to attract him with her beauty and holds the deadly fruit before him as a treasure worthy of his possession. This fruit held the promise of a new world where he was master of his own universe. As the messenger, Eve became the gateway to this new experience. The initial exhilaration the fruit delivered, combined with the adventure into the forbidden, soon gave way to the emptiness and unfulfilled expectation. This was the nakedness and shame that they had never known before. Adam's disappointment is felt by Eve, and she also is disappointed that her husband is not fulfilled, nor thankful, but rather aloof, slightly deflated, and maybe even slightly irritated. Note carefully that this process of promise that leads to disappointment is played out over and over in male and female relationships. The gateway of the naked female form promises the man exhilaration and the world of his dreams. This deep-seated desire to possess and enjoy the woman is the natural extension of man's desire to possess and enjoy the fruit from the tree of knowledge. Remember that the lie of the serpent promised us power within, and now Adam, instead of looking at Eve as one who had come from himself, sees her as a power through which he can reach his own divinity. In order to attract the woman, he displays his powers to impress her. This is the process of mutual attraction. Of course, the woman cannot provide the divine experience. The fleeting feelings of a moment soon evaporate, and the man remains mortal and even less fulfilled than before. For most men, this becomes a sorry cycle. Deep within his psyche, the naked female form promises him life, divinity, and godhood, and then the resulting failure to deliver lasting results causes feelings of emptiness and sometimes frustration. The mood changes and the man becomes more demanding, expecting the woman to perform and bring him the experience he desires that will last. The woman's sense of inability to please her husband causes her either to fall into a frozen despair or a responding anger and disgust at the man's continual advances and obsession with sex. Thus, mutual repulsion ends the cycle. Much of the controversy in the bedroom stems directly from the fruit in the garden and the promised divinity by the alluring naked woman. This is the cycle of Eros. 1. Attraction. 2. Anticipation. 3. Possession. 4. Disappointment. 5. Repulsion. At the heart of Eros thinking is the belief that the possession of that which appears beautiful, lovely, and delicious will give us what we are seeking. This is doomed to failure and destruction, for the story of original love reveals that we were not created this way, nor do we inherently possess anything that can deliver any such sense of lasting satisfaction. The results of this Eros cycle expand from the tree into the history of the male and female relations. That the sons of God saw that the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all, which they chose. Genesis 6, verse 2. If you look carefully at this verse, you see a parallel to what happened with Eve and the fruit. One, attraction. And when the woman saw, Genesis 3 verse 6. The sons of God saw, Genesis 6 verse 2. Two, anticipation, that the tree was good for food, Genesis 3 6. The daughters of men, that they were fair, Genesis 6 verse 2. Three, possession. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, Genesis 3 6. And they took them wives of all, which they chose, Genesis 6 verse 2. Four, disappointment. They knew that they were naked, Genesis 3 verse 7. Bear them that were tyrants, Genesis 6 verse 4. 5. Repulsion. Adam and his wife hid themselves. The woman thou gavest me, Genesis 3 verse 8 and 10. Wickedness of man was great, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, Genesis 6 verse 5. The sequence of the words saw, good, and took in Genesis 3 verse 6 are the same as the words saw, fair, and took in Genesis 6 verse 2. Seeing a good thing and taking it for your personal desire is the root of the principle of Eros. The sons of God are seduced just like their first mother. They see the woman is good for carnal food, and they take, possess, and devour. Each time a man lusts after a woman, he stands at the tree, taking the fruit from the serpent. Each time a man lusts after a woman, he is seduced by the lie that the woman has power to give him life and enhance his position in the natural world. It should be obvious that these fair women were not simply sitting at home trusting the Lord to bring the man to them. They were highlighting every curve and feature they could exploit to influence the man to take them. Every time a woman looks at herself in the mirror and asks herself, "Do I have the look? Will I turn heads in this outfit?" she stands at the tree, taking the fruit from the serpent. Every time a woman seeks to dress with the desire for men to look at her beauty, she is sure to taste the bitter fruit of Eros. This flirtatious game by men and women, where they look and desire to have something from the other, creates the natural Eros cycle of attraction, emptiness, and repulsion. The negative emotions that build up between the man and the woman become the seed of the next generation. Instead of growing up with a knowledge that all they possess comes from their parents and seeking to honor and please them, they seek rather to look for carnal food and take it and play out the whole process of seeking godhood through the gateway of the naked female form. The Bible says something significant about the children of such relationships. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. Genesis 6 verse 4. The word rendered mighty men means powerful, warrior, and tyrant. The children of those who chose women because they were good to look upon replayed the garden scene and based their relationship upon the principle of Eros, seeking that which pleases and enhances self. Within a few generations, this principle turned the world into a place of violence and depravity. The thoughts of their hearts were only evil continually. Despite the fact that the sweet Spirit of Christ was available to the sons of God, they chose a different path. When they chose a woman because she was fair, they revealed that their hearts were filled with Eros and not agape. It reveals that the Spirit of Christ was rejected. These men were not saying, "This is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." They were saying, "Whoa, man!" When women sought to be fair and attract the man, they also chose Eros instead of agape. They also rejected the Spirit of Christ. Any relationship built on this foundation will not endure the test of time. Bad fruit will always be the result. What if I became married through this process and acknowledged that physical attraction was central to the relationship formed? Behold the Son of God, and see that he is loved and cherished because he came out from God. See John 17 verse 8. As we behold him as he is, we can be transformed into his image and learn to love with agape love. For many of us, we have lived with decades of false thinking and seeking things from our partners. This thinking does not subside in an instant. The key to change is to know exactly who the Son of God is. He is the cornerstone of agape because he was given all things. Day after day, as we think about him, as we see his gentle, submissive spirit, resting always in the Father's care, we will become like him. And the more we behold him, the more we will realize the cost he was willing to make in order to give us back his agape spirit. We will be filled with gratitude. And as we realize the Father was willing to give him for this purpose, our hearts will begin to experience the truth of agape. See 1 John 4 verses 8 to 10. What if I'm in a relationship that started wrongly, but still am not married? We will address this in detail in later chapters. But the short answer is to behold the Son of God and repent for the desire to have and possess for yourself. It only leads to emptiness, sorrow, and potential violence. At this point, some might be thinking, are you saying people should not enjoy the sexual experience? It is evident that God provided the gift of sexuality to be enjoyed in its proper place. The question we are addressing is the motivation for that enjoyment and its symbolism for the hearts of men and women. What we have shown here is that sexual encounters based upon seeking personal ambition and desire will bear fruit that leaves bitterness in the soul. The seeds of Eros planted in the hearts of men and women was not restricted to their relationships. It became the natural process whenever one perceived the presence of another power. Of course, everything became a power in the Eros kingdom. The experience of eating the fruit of the tree made everything in the natural world a potential power for self-enhancement. Things owned by others became an appealing treasure. The spouse of another person could easily become the source of attraction. All this became natural in the world of Eros. The only question to be asked was, can I possess this power by direct force or by subtle manipulation? This is what turned the thoughts of man to evil continually. Rather than seeing the world created as a gift from our agape Father and his Son, everything became a treasure to take and possess in order to become divine. Sadly, since Eros depends on that which it can see, the invisible God who made them faded from their minds. Whatever God existed had to operate in the natural world for the eyes to see. Since mankind had fallen to the influence of Satan, their natural attitude towards God would be similar to Satan's desire concerning God. His desire, of course, was to simply be God in all his power and glory. See Isaiah 14 verses 12 to 14. Within the Eros kingdom, gaining and possessing the power that God alone possessed would become one of men's greatest obsessions. The process of winning the patronage of a God in order to receive his divine power became the heart of all man-made religion. Actually, knowing the true God was irrelevant. The only thing that mattered was power as understood in the natural world. This led men to worship all kinds of things in their quest to possess what they perceived as divine. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and to four-footed beasts and creeping things. Romans 1 verses 21 to 23. Combining the fruit of the tree and the female messenger, man developed systems of religion that worshipped the natural world and particularly the feminine principle. For many, the sexual experience became the gateway to the divine, and so men began to burn in their lusts not only for women but for other men and also other creatures, anything that was perceived as powerful. This was all a natural extension of the Eros principle. The process of prayer to God became the simple process of asking in order to possess. From whence come wars and fighting among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts, that war in your members? Ye lust, and have not. Ye kill, and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world, or Eros, is an enemy of God, or agape. James 4, verses 1 to 4. This seeking for power through the natural world and the perverting of the knowledge of the true God fueled the violence and depravity that caused the old world to be destroyed by water. They drowned in a flood of Eros. How would the seed of the woman respond to this tragedy?